Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already April 25th and April 26th, depending on when you're listening to this. So the Boston Marathon in the rain has come and gone, and the Red Sox are still doing fairly well, although I still think that they're going to have a problem with their starting pitching. But I think it's very important that they continue to do well early in the season to get their confidence up. Last Friday night, on Friday, April 17th, was the third race of the Capital Area Race Series, the NHGI Delta Dental 5K Road Race. A lot of press, a lot of Concord Monitor coverage. It raises funds for the pretty famous Jen Kemp Scholarship Fund, and was quite an event. The next race in the Capital Area Race Series is race number 4 at the Canterbury Shaco Village, the cross-country 5K and walk, and that's Saturday, May 9th. And for my running friends, you know that is not a course where you're going to get your personal best. The last few shows we've had really have had an oral health component, and of course I am the CEO of a dental insurance company, so I do like to stay employed. So every once in a while we do have coverage of a relevant topic in dentistry. So a few weeks ago we had Dr. Mitch Carey talking about teledentistry. I've gotten a lot of feedback on that. This is not the situation where someone from overseas is going to be drilling your teeth, but what it really is in underserved areas of northern New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont perhaps, you may see the day where your x-rays are reviewed by someone in a remote location, and in the spirit of outreach and getting dentists to serve in the underserved areas, you might have to have some of the backroom operations not there in those places in New Hampshire. So teledentistry is coming. So Dr. Carey explained that. And then last week we had Eleanor Vienne, and she did a great job in one of our sort of marquee programs called the PANDA program, which stands for Prevent and Abuse Through Dental Awareness. And it is a responsibility of professionals to report suspected cases of child abuse, and dentists are in a great position to see that, because if a child comes in and there's some issues above the neck, they can report it. And Eleanor did a great job of explaining how you can report it, and even if it turns out not to be true, that there's no backlash. So Eleanor goes to all of our dental offices from time to time and explains the PANDA program. Did a great job last week, and a lot of great feedback. So this show has provided me a great opportunity to feature community partners, ranging from Canterbury Shaker Village to the Red Cross, to the Capital Center for the Arts. And next week, for example, we're going to do another show on the Granite State Games. So this weekend, I'm so happy he's been able to join me, is Tom Kersey, who is the executive director of New England Handicapped Sports Association, NEHSA or NESA. And Tom, thank you for joining me and coming down and coming into the studio this weekend on April 25th and 26th. I know Sunapee was opened a lot longer this year, but you're probably glad to take a deep breath now and can get on to your next season.
Yeah, thanks for having me this morning. Sunapee actually just closed a week ago, and it was a very, very long season.
It was, but I'm a runner, but I'm also a skier, and so I see you guys all the time. I'm so impressed with NESA, and so glad that one of our mutual colleagues, Bruce Johnstone, who lives in the Lebanon area, who was on our Delta Dental Plan of New Hampshire board for many years, and I see him at the Prouty. He said, "Geez, you know, you need to get Tom on the show." So when Bruce says something, Tom, I do it. So here you are.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, let's take a step back. I know that NESA really first started back in 1970 in a ski location in Vermont. But tell us when it was incorporated or when it became active in New Hampshire, and what really is NESS? I think it would be very helpful to explain from A to Z, really, to the listening audience.
Sure. So, as you said, NESA was started in 1970 by 8 disabled Vietnam veterans who came back and really had no other support group other than each other. They were primarily leg amputees, so a lot of that early lessons were three-track, which means three tracks are left on the snow, so the one ski on the residual limb and two handheld crutch skis called outriggers. So they started with, it was 100% veteran-only program in 1970. They wanted to move closer to Boston from Haystack, Vermont, so Mount Sunapee was their choice location. And I guess the best thought that I have of that is maybe they went there because it was state-owned and state would be more friendly to people with disabilities. So they ended up at Mount Sunapee State Park as a seasonal program. Here we are 43 years later, and we serve all populations, all disabilities. This year we did 7,000 hours of snow sports and 3,000 hours of kayaking out of our location. At one point in time, about 16 or 17 years ago, we were almost out of disabled veterans. The Vietnam guys were almost too old, and war-injured veterans were reaching the end of their skiing career. And then Desert Storm started in Iraq and Afghanistan, and lo and behold, we're back in the thick of it with probably 40% of our population being disabled veterans at this point in time. The disabled veterans come back to us as a different mindset, really. They're different than the children that we deal with. They want to come back and they want to be part of program givers versus service users. So a lot of my disabled veterans, whether it be kayaking or snow sports, come in and say, instead of saying, how can I ski, how can I learn to ski, they almost start with, how can I learn to teach skiing? So it's a pretty easy rotation for us to take them from teaching them to ski to teaching them how to teach skiing or snow sports or adaptive sports. They've got all the time in the world, and it gives them an outlet for socialization and getting back to giving and being part of the team.
Yeah, it must bring a big smile to your face. Now, your website is nessa.org, and skiing a lot at Sunapee. I know your facility is wonderfully functional, but also perhaps needs to be expanded now. So tell us what your plans are in that area.
So we're operating out of 1,500 square feet, which is 500 square feet on three floors. We have an addition planned for doubling the size, which will bring us to 3,000 square feet. Really not doubling skier visits or population, but just more elbow room to breathe. We've got things that are stored off-site. We've got trailers and boxes and seasonally move things back and forth. Most of our kayaking happens on Lake Sunapee, which is right across from the mountain, so it's pretty easy to go back and forth between the lake and the facility. But we just need room to breathe and be able to have calming areas for people, and with power wheelchairs and assist dogs, it gets pretty jammed up in that building. On a typical Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we do 30 lessons in the morning and 30 in the afternoon, with a 2-to-1 instructor ratio, so almost the reverse of ski school. We have one participant with two instructors, so on a typical Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there could be up to 90 people in that space at one time. We're pretty fast at getting them in and out and knowing the rotation, but if we just had a little bit more room, it would make it much more pleasant experience for everyone involved.
You've sold me, because every once in a while when I go in there to say hi to some of the colleagues that I know, like Ray Luzinski and Bruce, it's definitely pretty hectic in there. But people, doing their best. So for the listening audience, this is a functional expansion for a real need. So tell us about who helps do the lessons? You've talked obviously about the veterans, but you also have volunteer members, and how do they get trained up, and how do you select them, and so
sure.
forth?
So we've got 300 volunteers, summer and winter. Out of the 300 volunteers, 125 do more than 24 days a year. So that's a pretty big commitment. If you're working 40 hours a week or 50 hours a week on your real job, then 23 days is every Saturday and Sunday during ski season, and then maybe a few other days. So that's a big commitment for over 100 of our volunteers.
Are they people that just are into skiing, in the case of the skiing, and maybe know someone that's disabled and they want to get into it? What's a typical?
So volunteers come in three flavors. They come in someone who knows their sport and loves their sport and thinks that everybody on the planet should do their sport, whether it be tennis or horseback riding or running or skiing or kayaking. So that's one group. The other group, another group that comes in is volunteers that either love or understand or don't understand a disability. So someone who works with autism in the school system, or someone maybe has a sister with MS and doesn't understand it, but maybe if they worked more with someone with the disease, they'd be able to figure it out a little bit more. And then the third class of volunteers that we get are the pay it forward. I just want to do good things. So really my goal is to round them out so that they know the sport, they understand the disabilities, and they want to pay it forward. We're pretty good at it.
Yeah, I can tell. I'm just observing you all, it's so darn impressive. So we're going to take a break in a sec, but I want to give out the website. It's nehsa.org. And if you want to reach them by phone, it's 763-9158. You might get Tom directly. And after commercial break, we'll talk about fundraising related to the expansion. Tom Raffio will return with the other Tom, Tom Kersey, after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with Tom Kersey, who is the Executive Director of the New England Handicapped Sports Association, or NESA, and that website again is nehsa.org. Reminder to my running friends, the fourth race in the Capital Year Race Series is the Canterbury Shaker Village Cross Country 5K and walk. We're trying to put a lot of walk components this year because I think the important thing is for people to move. And that is Saturday, May 9th at Canterbury Shaker Village, and all funds go to the Canterbury Shaker Village. The fifth race is the Over the River and Through the Woods, and that's Saturday, June 6th, and that'll be held right at Northeast Delta Dental, and that raises money for the SPCA. On the affordable care front, putting aside the politics of it, I don't know who's going to be the next president. I don't think the Affordable Care Act is going to go away, but it's actually been a healthy thing for Northeast Delta Dental because many, many people, individuals who heretofore did not have dental coverage have been able to purchase it on either the public exchange, healthcare.gov, or our private exchange, deltadentalcoversme.com. And our mission is oral health, so it's work for us. So back to Tom Kersey. So Tom, now you've been executive director. You have so much passion for this topic. So tell us, so you've been executive director for 18 years, which is almost half of the life of the New Hampshire's NESA. So how did you get into it, and where did all this passion come from?
Well, I wish it was a better story.
I'm sure it's good, though.
Actually, I live in Newport, New Hampshire, very close to the mountain, and moved there in 1978, had two children. And when my children got to be high school age or faster than I was, on skis.
I know what that's like, yeah.
My son was on the jumping team and my daughter was on the Nordic team, and I was looking for something to do on the weekends, and I saw an ad in the Kearsarge Shopper, which is a local newspaper up there, and it said, you want to ski for free? Come to the mountain on Saturday and learn how. And I'd been skiing at Mount Sunapee for a few years, and saw that ad in the shopper and figured I'd be parking cars in the parking lot or picking up cigarette butts. And lo and behold, I walked into a NESA orientation. So I walked into a room with wheelchairs and seeing eye dogs and started to backpedal out the door thinking I was in the wrong place, and someone grabbed me and said, where are you going? And I said, I'm looking for the Ski for Free place. And they said, well, you know, sit down, and this
That's
is it.
Too funny.
So, you know, quite honestly, I didn't come there with a passion for disabilities. I was more of someone who had a passion for the sport, like I said earlier. But I soon learned that no one at New England Handicap Sports is suffering with their disability, no matter what it is. They're all triumphing past adversity. There's all different disabilities and abilities and all levels of abilities. You know, one of the things autism taught us was a spectrum disorder. And really, life is a spectrum disorder. No one plans to become disabled. No one plans to have a disabled child. It's all really very much by accident and immediacy, and it's really crisis management for parents, caregivers, and even people that have a disability, that all of a sudden they're thrust into this new world of something that they never planned on or dreamed on for a million years, and now they have to find a support group and find a way out, find a new way into this newfound reality. So NESSA provides that. So in that first meeting, what I found was that I was pretty similar to spinal cord injured wheelchair users, because I'd fallen out of a tree, and I'd had a slip and fall, and I'd been in a motorcycle accident, and I'd been in a car crash, but I was just a little bit luckier than these accident victims. So not with a severe disease, but I could see myself, boy, I was lucky that day, and they were wired like I was wired. So where I fell into the majority of my lessons were paraplegic and quadriplegics, because their brains worked like my brain. So those were the majority of the lessons that I did early on. We certainly cross-trained, so our instructors are, if you're working with a sit-down student, then you would be in a monoski or a bi-ski to kind of walk a mile in their shoes. When we do visually impaired training, then we would give you goggles with wax paper in them so that you would just see white light. When we do blind training, then you would be blindfolded and skiing. So it's not the same, but at least it gives you a taste of their reality, some of the fears and some of the noises of the chairlift when you can't see what's going on.
Absolutely. And I think what you're covering here is something I wanted you to expand upon, which is, you know, when I'm up there, I know you have that one long week, robust week of the veterans and a lot of the amputees you see. But I think what you started to cover was that it's not just, well, it's certainly very important for the veterans coming back from all of our various wars, but NESSA serves individuals with autism, individuals that are developmentally delayed, individuals with Down syndromes, individuals living with traumatic brain injuries, spina bifida, muscular dystrophy, musculosclerosis, balance issues, and you said the visually impaired, and also post-stroke folks, as well as perhaps folks that are suffering from Alzheimer's. So I don't think people realize the level of the breadth of the clientele.
Right. So it's really anybody that has a difference that that makes them leery of being able to perform a sports activity. It's the caregiver that thinks about it. Sometimes it's a referral from Spalding Rehab or their physical therapist or a friend. It's funny the way students end up with us and student families, because really our goal is to put the families back together, to rebuild the family unit. You know, anyone can be a ski instructor or a kayaking instructor. You know, parents can do that, and really those sports are really more social sports than they are competitive sports. Now, there is, you know, competitive kayaking and competitive ski racing, but our typical families are families that want to demystify, how do I take my child with autism skiing? How can we do this? How can we keep it a safe and fun experience? What are we going to do if my child has a seizure on the chairlift? How can we make that safe? And we're good at that. We're really good at graduating families so that they don't need us.
So thinking ahead to next winter, so if with my broad listening audience, if I'm a parent of a who has a child in one of these situations, or if I'm an adult with some form of disabled situation, would I just call you at 763-9158 and say, hey, I have a son or daughter that has this issue, or I just came back from Afghanistan and I have this issue, and then they would just hook up with
you? Sure, that's how it starts. It starts with a phone conversation or an email. And it's amazing how far those go when you look back at, remember the first day we talked to this guy and now he's a ski instructor. So it's pretty normal for families to call us and say, do you have any openings this week? And my child has a very obscure syndrome or disease, and they mention what it is, and we say, oh yeah, we've got several of those. So we can put together a little group of...
So it's really helpful to the family, because as you point out, I mean, skiing is really a family sport. I know that when we skied as a family, it was a great way to for the winter to pass by, and you have lunch together. And all my kids went on to ski racing, but the biggest part of it is to this day that we can all, you know, kind of ski and be together. So this NESA really helps that continue, even if you have a disabled.
Sure, it's a lifelong sport. It's a sport that you can, you know, our oldest participants this year were in their 90s. I brought a woman who'd skied at Mount Sunapee before the trails were cut. She hiked up and skied before the trails were cut in 1947.
Wow.
I just took her out on her 85th birthday skiing with her daughter.
Wow. That must have brought the daughter to tears,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, the mom was in a nursing home, and the daughter said, we're going skiing today, and brought it to the mountain. It was all set up, and I brought in a team to work with her, and it was a wonderful day. And, you know, the wonders of Facebook, it got on Facebook that night, and this little old lady and me had 100 hits before 5 o'clock at night and 500 by the next morning. So
wow,
she had lots of friends.
I can definitely see that. And again, I mean, I think anybody in the listening audience that has ever skied at Mount Sunapee can see the NESA folks. And I just want to give a shout out to you, but also all of your volunteer members, because I know in some situations, or most of the situations, they're working really, really hard for the safety, because safety is number one,
yeah,
right?
Sure, sure.
And so let's now turn it a little bit into the future. So in sort of typical New Hampshire style, NESA really doesn't get funds from the state, although the state's been good in terms of, you know, hosting it at Mount Sunapee. You don't get federal funds. So where do the funds come from? And tell us if you have any fundraising activities planned, you know, for the expansion of to create an even more functional building.
So most of our fundraising is word of mouth, and it's private foundations for the most part. We do have some user fees that are involved. We have all of my volunteers, all of my members are members, so we have student members and volunteer members. So you actually pay to volunteer at New England Handicap Sports. So everybody's in it. It's more of a cooperative than a nonprofit, I would guess, but... So everyone's got skin in the game, but it's a lot of grant writing, a lot of beating the bushes, a lot of friends of NESA, a lot of you know, people going back and saying we had this unbelievable experience, and then all of a sudden we get checks in the mail for the benefit of someone in particular. So it's, you know, every year I look at $600,000 and say, how am I going to raise that money this year and pull my hair out, and then in 15 or 20 days, I have the budget nailed down, and it's worked so far. I don't know how, but it's...
Well, it's through your passion and leadership. Now, tell us, so the current building footprint is only 30 by 40, so what's the plan
to... Yeah, the new building footprint is 18 by 40. It would tee into our current building.
And if someone hearing this wanted to donate to the new building expansion, they would just go on NEHSA.org or call you at 763-9158?
Sure, yeah. So we're trying to raise $300,000 for this building, which is pretty skinny for a building that size. But really, it's three bare rooms. Okay. It's a bare basement. It's really just wide open space,
and it's really functional. If you've I wanted to say this to my listening audience, really, really, this is just, you know, functionality. And Tom, if I'm listening to this, and again, if I have a child that I might be thinking maybe you should get involved with the program, we'd call you at 763-9158.
Sure. Yeah.
And if I'm listening and now I want to volunteer, same number?
Same number, absolutely.
763-9158. So, Tom Kiersey, you're what makes New Hampshire special. This is why we all love to live in New Hampshire, because you're doing this, you're passionate, 18 years, congratulations, and I'll see you at Sunapee next year.
Thank you.
Tom Raphael will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.